So hello again and welcome to the first episode of Quick Question of 2022, the official year-end podcast of Soren and Daniel. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and wandering nomad Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
So hello everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I don't have any Emmys or I haven't published any books and I don't have a fancy job at Last Week Tonight, but I do have a lot of Kirby Puckett baseball cards. I have a bullet from the Civil War, and I have a ninja blender, which, if you're not familiar, is the best kind. So you could say that I'm rich in material possessions. And I'll just leave it up to all of you to decide which is better.
That's definitely one of the top two things to be rich in.
Yes, material possessions is a good one.
Yeah.
Because that can be traded for money,
right?
Generally.
The number one thing.
Right. Rich in experience, I think, is a bullshit one.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, that's like a deathbed one where you're like, well, at least I had something, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one, I think, is cultural treasures, which is harder to pinpoint, but also just as valuable as money, I think.
Yeah. So Civil War bullet, does that fall into two camps? Is that worth anything?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. I don't know. I have dreams always of taking things to the Antique Roadshow, and that would be a great one to bring.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's worth very much because people are still digging those up out of the ground in Gettysburg all the time.
What must it even look like? Just an imperfect sphere?
No, they're not like round like a musket ball. Mm-hmm. They are actual bullet shapes. So they kind of look, they have the look of a missile a little bit. They're about an inch long, and it's all smooth. It's hard to tell because it's got like it's all calcified at this point, but the back of it has like kind of like these little ridges, and I'm not sure what those did, if they helped it spiral out of the gun or whatever, but I'm pretty confident the inside of it is lead. Like if this hits you, it would really fuck you up.
Yeah. And it's yours is particularly valuable because it's which general is signed it? Is it Lee?
Yeah, Lee and Stonewall signed it. Oh, okay. Although the Stonewall one, it's questionable because the date that he put on there is the same date he was killed by friendly fire. So it's just not clear.
I see.
Somebody else was like trying to cover that up. What happened?
Sure.
Oh, gross. I hate being somebody who knows stuff about the Civil War. Like, I don't want people out there thinking I am a Civil War buff. This is all just like, I crack a history book and this is what, in my mind, and this is what was on the first page.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy.
Okay. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you. It's an online learning community that offers membership with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a one-month free trial.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. Am I right? That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ. Soren, I've got so much news for you. I got big news for you and our listeners. This is huge. I've decided I'm gonna start trying on this podcast. I'm really gonna start giving a shit.
What was the turnaround? What happened?
We saw, so at the end of 2021, or I guess right at the beginning of December, which is the end of when we recorded, Spotify starts doing those year in review playlists, where they do like these are your most listened to songs of the year, and these are also your most listened to podcasts of the year. And people sent us screenshots on Twitter of where we ranked in their most listened to podcasts, and it was very cool to see. And I'm sure we're not like globally or nationally the most listened to podcast, but I'm not seeing screenshots of any of the other ones. I'm only seeing the ones coming towards us. So even if it was only like, you know, 12 people, not counting my family, it still felt very overwhelming. And I was not prepared for a visual representation of people listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
It filled me with tremendous responsibility. So I made the bold decision to really start working on this thing.
That's great news, I think. I will commit to at least half of that.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable. I am bringing back a game that you invented last season that I think is really fun.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. I do think recurring segments is a way to go, and that's sort of... So let me just tell you where my roadmap is at. Phase one was saying I'm going to start giving a shit again. Phase two is I'm gonna try to stop audibly stretching during the show. I can hear it coming into my voice, so I'm gonna try to I'll try to be more aware of that. Three, I was gonna smile more.
Oh,
and then I'm sort of tapped out.
Yeah,
I haven't really figured out what a better version of this podcast is gonna sound like. But I think deciding that I want to do it is pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think that smiling more isn't really going to help the podcast too much.
Okay, good. I wasn't going to do it.
Good. Yeah, that's one that you can throw away.
I mean, sometimes you can hear, like Soren, you know, you remember the original Broadway cast recording of Wicked in The Wizard and I when she says, of course, that's not important to me? You can hear her smiling at that part, and it's a really, like, smiles do carry over audio format. I can hear you doing it right now at that sick reference.
That might be the slurping sound of my eyes rolling in my head. I guess you can. Also, it's like it projects a certain amount of the same way where like you put your chest up and you put your chin out, how it sort of like changes your general demeanor and the way that you communicate and everything. Yes. I wonder if smiling does the same thing where it just puts you, you force yourself into the mood. You fake it till you make it, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think those are good. Those are good ones. I'm very upset right now because so many people have done their New Year's resolutions, which are always to lose weight or to work out. And so my gym is just flooded with people and they're not respecting my rules, my specific COVID rules.
Sure. Oh, but, it's wait.
Well, the rules of the gym.
Okay. But yeah. I'm trying to figure out if you're the villain or not.
I'm also, you know, I also cheat those rules sometimes. I'll be on the treadmill, and if I'm on the treadmill and I'm in mile four and I'm really feeling it, sometimes just to like cheat a little, I'll take my mask off for a second and I'll use my towel on my face, but I'll like really take my time about it so that I can breathe for a little bit. Maybe I'll drink some water while I'm clumsily drink while I'm running.
Right.
Just anything to keep that mask off for a little bit, and then I'll put it back on. And sometimes I have a way of like lowering my chin, opening my mouth really wide so that the top of my mask pokes down and my nose can come out.
Accidentally. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I go, oh, what a mistake. And I put it back. But these people are not, they're not even trying to make it look like a mistake. And that frustrates me.
Yeah.
There was a man who was doing push-ups and then in between each push-up set would just take his mask completely off. And I was like, that's not, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
When you're breathing your hardest. And then there was another guy whose breath I felt, and that made me very upset.
Oh, no.
A guy was doing squats with dumbbells. I don't really know why he was doing these over by the benches.
Goblet squats or...
I don't know what that is.
Goblet squats are, I guess you could do them with two if you have lighter ones, but imagine you've got a 50-pound dumbbell and you're holding it with both hands in front of you, sort of at chin level, as if you were holding a very large, heavy goblet, and then you squat from there.
He's not doing that. He's got him down at his sides, and he's just doing like a... he's using it like he would with a barbell, but his hands are out at his sides, and his knuckles are facing straight forward, so the dumbbells aren't like pinned to his legs or anything.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just going down and back up. But as he's doing it, his mask is all the way down, not just over, he's just over his chin, and he's breathing, you know, he's exhaling with each one, which you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. but he's exhaling right on me. And those little wispy white hairs on the front of my head, I could feel his breath in there, and I immediately stopped my workout and walked away.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was so scandalized and mad that this took place, that I couldn't hang.
I was so lucky. I'm really going to miss my old apartment gym because I've moved it. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But the way that gym worked as of COVID, it used to be a free-for-all, come in whenever you want, but then you could only reserve hour blocks at a time, and they limited the amount of people who were ever in there, which is easy to do for an apartment building because there's not a ton of people using it anyway, but it was still like I was never in that gym with more than four people. And like there were few enough of us that like very often I could go into one of the studio rooms, which has a bench and kettlebells and dumbbells, anything that I could need for certain workouts, and I could just like have this room to myself, and it was great. And I'm really gonna miss that now, like, because now I'm gonna spend the next several months traveling, so I'm trying to find the biggest like chain gyms, and so I always have a gym to go to wherever I am in the country. And just like even Google image searching retro fitness, I'm like, I'm not gonna like this. I'm not gonna like being in a room at peak hours. I want to schedule my time of like, I'm going to be in there from 9:45 to 10:45. There's going to be three other people in the whole gym. And not only is that great for spacing and COVID reasons, it's also, if I block an hour of time, I'm in the gym for an hour, which I don't yes. normally do because I hate being in gyms.
Well, yeah, you're one of us now.
Yeah.
I am thinking of joining a new gym. I'm thinking of leaving Equinox. I'm gonna step down, walk out of the ivory tower, and see what it's like to be among the dregs of society.
Yeah, don't, if you're used to Equinox, definitely don't Google image search the color palette decisions of Retro Fitness. I can't. I'm really coming down hard on this gym that I'm probably gonna join.
Well, it's, to be fair, I think there's a lot of gyms that are sort of like spiraling the drain in that respect. There's the colors of Planet Fitness are completely baffling to me. You know what that is? That's like a Lakers colors. It's like purple and yellow, but not even like a gold and purple. It's like
purple, yeah,
bright yellow, and then red. Just a bunch of colors that don't go together, except at a fast food chain. And then the other one that's really strange is, I think it's Crunch. Crunch has got some very strange colors as well.
I'm going to look at it. Oh yeah, they're all. I understand branding, I guess, but at what cost? Oh well, I got another update, Soren, because it's been a while since we talked to each other. I don't know if you're gonna like this one. I think you might hate it, you son of a bitch. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's one of those, I'm becoming a different kind of guy.
Oh no. Okay, you're a new you're a new thing. Can I guess what it is?
How many guesses do you want?
I only want one.
Okay.
But I really want to nail it, so I just need a second.
Sure.
It's going to be seasonal.
I wonder if I could give you, if it would be fair to give you hints. Okay. Cuz I feel like the biggest hint I could give you would give it away.
All right. You're making taffy.
No.
you're becoming a confectioner. That feels right up your alley.
That's a very fun guess. I am getting into making pasta from scratch, which is totally similar, but that's not the kind of guy I am anymore.
I'll tell you how I got there. My path was that I know you're down on the shore, or you're at least in New Jersey for some of this, and it's exactly like you to be wandering around, caught up in the romance of the boardwalk, and like stumbling onto a shop that sells saltwater taffy and being like, you know what? I wonder how that's made. And then just doing it.
Yeah. Your instincts are right on for the way that my brain works, and that I just sort of like walk around with my mouth open in the world and wander into the first open thing.
Yeah.
Your timing is off. It didn't happen while I was down here. It happened while I was on vacation on Catalina Island.
Okay. All right. You're a camper.
No, I've been a camper.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. You and your brother.
Yeah.
I forgot. You're a guy who eats bison now all the time for every meal.
I'm just gonna tell you, I'm gonna become a scuba guy.
Oh fuck, that's such a good, I should have known it was scuba. I'm gonna become is so fun. You have big plans to build your entire personality around something you haven't done yet.
No, I did it once. I took a class on Catalina Island.
Okay.
And you know, the same as you picture, that I'm wandering around this very small island, and Catalina is very on brand for me. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a small island 20 miles outside of Long Beach, California. It's a population of like 3,500. It's squarely in my wheelhouse as I travel around the planet collecting small weird beach towns. with very tight communities. And I'm wandering around there looking for things to do. And after I bought every piece of tourist bullshit imaginable, there's golfing, hiking, and scuba there. So I was like, I'm gonna do scuba diving. I tried it once before years ago, and I had a really bad experience. But I'm better now in every possible way, I tell myself. And so I went scuba diving, and I had just like one-on-one instruction with this woman who was there. And it was incredibly fun. I really enjoyed it. I was right going into it that, like, I think my first bad experience was really a one-off bad experience, and I really do think this might be the thing for me. And I was right. My instincts were correct on that. I loved it. I found it very peaceful. I found it very meditative. I'm just racking up meditative things at this point. And probably the biggest reason I decided I'm going to become a scuba guy is the instructor, who, remember, I'm paying, said that I was a natural and I should become a scuba guy. That's really all it takes to get me to do anything.
Yeah, that's true. It's very, just a little bit of confidence.
It's like, genuinely, freshman year of college, a person with professor in their name was like, why are you studying theater? You should be a writer. I'm like, okay. And it's been my entire life. Until now. Now I'm quitting writing and I'm going to do scuba full time. It's the new year, and with the new year comes new COVID terrors. What interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals? It could be any number of things. Every stressor counts. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. With BetterHelp, you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime. BetterHelp is not a crisis self-help line. It's professional counseling for you. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, trauma, anger, grief, self-esteem, relationships, family conflicts, and more. And in fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thank you, BetterHelp.
Hey, you're creative. I don't know if you're letting that muscle atrophy in your life while you focus on other things, or if it's something that you're passionate about and you work on every single day. Well, regardless of what step you're at in your level of creativity, Skillshare can help. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare can empower you to accomplish real growth, regardless of what rung of the ladder you're on right now. Skillshare can help you make 2022 a year of new learning, growth, and connection through creativity. You naturally have this ability in you. You've got some creativity that wants to be used so badly. And Skillshare wants to get it out of you. Get it out! Get it out! Like a botfly, baby. There are tons of classes to choose from, no matter what your interest is. Like the Ultimate Self-Care Playbook, where you discover and nurture your centered self with Jonathan Van Ness. Yes, that Jonathan Van Ness. I've taken a few of these classes, and I really enjoy it. I felt like I had sort of given up on myself, frankly. Being a father and a husband, I was like, well, what's the point of like trying to better myself at this point? This is like, put this thing in a glass case in a museum. It's done. Not the case. You can always make yourself better. You can always be a better person, and it makes you feel better. It makes you more self-confident, and it makes you happier. There's also YouTube success, script, shoot, and edit with MKBHD with Marques Brownlee. There's Find Your Style, 5 exercises to unlock your creative identity. There's all kinds of classes that you, regardless of who you are, will enjoy. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro, a hobbyist or a master, discover what you can make with classes for every skill level. So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial. That's 1 month free at Skillshare.com/QQ. I have a lot of questions about scuba because I'm also a little scared of it. And yeah, water sports in general are my weakness. I don't feel confident in the water. Is it breathing in and out of that thing? Is it freaking you out?
Yeah. Okay. Because it's not, you never feel like you're getting a full breath ever. Because you're just not. You're just not getting as much of an inhale as you want. You also, your body is telling you that this is wrong. It's you prepared so much of your life for not breathing underwater that when you're doing it, your body is going into panic mode, at least at the start. It's like, hey, I've worked so hard to keep the brain out of situations like this, and now you've led us straight into the depths. We've got to get out of here. The brain is out of control. It's time for the body to take over. And that's when your breathing gets quicker and gets more panicky. And what was very helpful going into it was the instructor was like, that's normal. You feel like this is weird because it is weird. And you're allowed to feel uncomfortable, and you're allowed to feel like the suit is too heavy or I'm not in control. Just remember that it is and you're not. And that was a helpful thing to keep in my head, that anytime it felt weird or uncomfortable, I was like, no, this is the correct response to everything that's happening right now. And once you process that, you can enjoy being under the water and looking at all the cool fish and whatnot.
Was there a lot of cool stuff to see there? I don't think of that as being like a coral reef hotspot.
No, there's not a coral reef. There's a ton of kelp, which is not fun to look at, but no. You know, it's fun to swim through. And there are a ton of fish down there. Calico bass and Garibaldi, which is the state fish of California, I think. And it's a protected fish. You can't have it. And they're just like this bright orange, beautiful fish to look at. And a bunch of other fish, the names of which I don't know. I was really excited going into it because they're showing you on this map like all the stuff that can be seen in these waters. And it's like octopus and like giant fucking bass and a little bit farther out some tuna and lobster, and I was like, are we gonna see any of those things? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you see any like big things? Did you see some, what are they called, megafauna, like seals and walruses?
No,
and
none of those.
Okay.
No.
So my only experience with animals, first, they have some crazy animals out there in Catalina. There's wild boar out there. There's mm-hmm. bison for whatever reason. And then...
Ooh, I can tell you the reason.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Yeah.
And then also, my wife and I were kayaking out there once in a tandem kayak, so yelling at each other. And a little seal popped its... Like a harbor seal popped its head up to just be like, hey, is everything okay? And we were both so touched by the experience that we were like, it just calmed us way down. but it's a humbling experience to have an animal of another species, a wild one, come and check in on you and be like, what are you guys even fighting about?
Especially a big one that is not a threat, but not afraid of you.
Yeah.
Like an animal that's not running away from you in fear is like, oh, okay, you understand that you are safe from me. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so why are the bison out there?
I think bison are out there because of the same reason that most of the animals are out there. It's because this guy, Wrigley, like the famous, the gum and the Chicago Sox guy, he fell in love with the island years and years and years ago and eyed it as a great tourist spot. And he did things that a lot of rich people do, which is like, I'm going to import a bunch of shit that I like here. So we brought in like bison and deer and a couple of other like plant life, like vegetation. He just imported over that he liked. And he also built, it's not there anymore, but built a Wrigley Field replica stadium and had the Cubs do spring training there for years.
Oh.
But that's not there anymore. But there's still like a giant, I think he's buried there. And there's like a huge monument to all the stuff and money that he brought into this little island that wasn't really on the map before then. But as far as like the bison and the weird animals go, it's one of those, it's like a very rich guy thing to do, just to flex where it's like, I like looking at bison, so I'm going to put them on here. And I'm going to put these deer on here, and we're going to have some foxes, and it's going to be great. And so one of the unfortunate side effects of that is it's like, it's almost always deer hunting season because there are no natural predators on the island because it's like a completely manufactured ecosystem and nothing kills these deer except humans who feel like hunting them.
Yeah. Or we could put some wolves out there.
Uh-huh.
Just see what happens.
I mean, I can guess what'll happen.
Some people will die?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
What if we did dinosaurs? Well, that sounds like fun. I think that scuba, I could see you doing that. You like big watches?
I do.
I think that's not a personality trait that's come up on this podcast frequently, but I've always noticed that you've always got kind of like you've got a watch that does a lot.
I mean, my thing is I have lots of watches.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll have a watch with a lot of business going on, but I also have like more elegant watches.
Yeah. Well, then it was this or skydiving. Those were really your options.
Which is also something that's like always on the table in my brain. From the one time I went skydiving, my brother and I were talking about this over Christmas, is like the first however many times you go skydiving, you have to go tandem.
Yes.
Attached to another person. But then once you do that enough, then you're certified and you can go solo. And that's the kind of thing that I wish I did when I was younger and had more time. And I just like, let's see if I can spend a summer or spring banging out these tandem skydiving things. And then I could be a person who just like, whenever it looks like a nice clear day, I could drive to a skydiving place and do some skydiving.
Yeah. It would be really cool to do it on your own.
Yeah.
I thought that immediately too, because then you also don't have to ride up in somebody else's lap.
Yes. And the guy, when we went skydiving years ago for my brother's bachelor party, the guy who owned the place, a very old guy, but he just recognized that it was like a remarkably clear day and like absolutely perfect conditions for skydiving. So he must have gone up 6 or 7 times while we were there, just hopping on every single plane that was going up and jumping on his own, like not even just not in tandem, but specifically like, I'm getting out now. The rest of you stay on the plane because you need to start from up higher. And just like, what a life option that must be to just, it's nice out. I'm going to jump out of a plane 8 times today.
I'm going to go cheat death over and over again. Yeah. I'm trying to even like try to think what to equate that to. I guess maybe like building a really big jump out in the wind, like in the a road gap in the winter, and being like, all right, well, it looks like a really nice day. What if we learned backflips today? Well, it sounds like you had a good time while you were in Los Angeles. I got to see you briefly while you were here.
Yeah, we had a nice dinner. Oh, I'm trying to. All right, we had a great dinner. We had shared plates. I don't know how far spread this trend is. It's certainly in New York, and it seemed like it was everywhere in LA, because when I was visiting Los Angeles, I was there in LA proper for a week and then Catalina Island for about 6 or 7 days. And it seemed like every single restaurant I went to was another shared plate place.
Yeah.
You sit down in the end. I think when at the place that we went to, it was me, you, and Bacon. I think at that place, the judge let him out for a night, which was nice. And at that place, the thing that we did right was they showed the list of menu items, and Bacon just said, "Should we get everything?" I was like, yeah, that's the right option. That's good. I like that a whole lot. And we had a great meal with a lot of things to try. And then I had a few more similar restaurant experiences with great friends, and they were good. And I think by the last meal that I had there, which was a two-person dinner with me and this woman, Christina, as soon as the waiter came over and was like, "So have you guys never been here before? Okay, great. I just want to let you know that it's a shared plate here, so we recommend getting 4 or 5 plates, depending on..." And at that point, at like meal 7 of this, I was like, "No! Give me what your chefs have decided is a meal. I don't know this woman well enough, and we're both going to be so polite that no one's going to make any decision, and I'm sick of this. I just want a human amount of food for me that has already been measured out."
It opens up a whole new door onto all these rules of etiquette that you didn't otherwise have to think about if you just had something that was exclusively your own.
Yeah.
Like, the only etiquette that occurs when you have two different plates and two different people is that you can say, do you want a bite of mine? And yes. Then that's it. That's like, and that's all you have to share. You also don't have to eat 80% of it and then leave the last 20% because maybe somebody else might want it. Like,
right.
The only way that shared plates works is exactly the way we did it, where it was at the end, there's maybe like one item left on a couple of plates, and it's not there because people are being polite. It's there because everybody is fucking full.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's such an added stressor too, of deciding how many plates is right for two people who are hungry eating dinner. It's like, that's usually not up to me.
Right.
Normally you guys handle the portions, and now I have to sit here with one or two or three people, and she's like, okay, I think maybe if I have a bite of steak and some octopus and I nibble on this papaya salad and some of a chicken wing that I might not like, I think after that I should be full, but I don't know, get the Brussels sprouts too. How could I fucking possibly know how much I need to eat?
And also, you go to these places and the meals are so creative to begin with that you have, you're just imagining what it could look like, and you have no idea conceivably like what the size is, and you're basing your entire idea of how hungry you will be at the end of the meal on your own image in your head of how big of a plate bacon wrapped figs you're about to get.
Yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, I had several great meals. This isn't Soren, I've been, this is why I hesitated before getting into this. I've been pretending to be angry about things on this podcast for like 2 fucking years now. None of my problems are real problems, and especially this one. It's fine. Everyone, yeah. I'm sorry if it ruins the podcast if I'm not complaining about stuff.
I think you're allowed to be annoyed by things in your life regardless of your economic security. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you should have to like shut the fuck up just because you have problems that other people don't have. I think that you're allowed to express those because there are going to be other people out there who are feeling the same thing, and they've been shutting the fuck up, and they're like, oh, fuck, yeah, that does get me. That does get me a lot. I think that's fine. The entire 80s comedy was based on that. The idea of airline food was so removed from so many people, and there's like, but the people who are on top were just like, yeah, it does kind of suck.
It isn't, I don't even know if it's a financial thing as much as it's just like sick of finding things to complain about for the sake of conversation or content. I think I saw there's something going around because of New Year, like a gift from Curb Your Enthusiasm of someone wishing Larry David a happy New Year. And he was like, hey, you're a little late. Like, what? It just happened a week ago. It's like, the window is 3 days to wish someone Happy New Year. I'm just like, Jesus, you're just learn Spanish or something, guy. This isn't real.
I mean, I don't know what kind of content it makes, but you could make a New Year's resolution of trying to bring something every single time that you're excited about.
Bring something
to the podcast.
Something
that made you happy. Something that like really charmed you.
We all shop online, am I right? But we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. Hey, am I right? But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Am I right? Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Then you wait a few seconds, just a few, and Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has saved me money all the time. It saved me money on specific things, a Henley shirt, a large roll of plastic wrap, and some tools, and it saved me $19. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Am I right? Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Ooh, are you watching Yellow Jackets yet?
No.
Oh, you'll love it. It's about soccer.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
It's a 90s girls high school team from New Jersey. It doesn't spoil anything to say that they just won state and they're on their way to nationals.
Oh, All right. Well, I'm busy right now getting confused by The Witcher. So when I'm done with that.
It's, this is true of both of us, and it's we both are busy people who don't have time to watch everything, and there are a lot of things that come recommended to us from each other and just from, like, broader internet support. Like, I still haven't watched Squid Game, and I know there are things you haven't watched, like Yellow Jackets, and I can see us both... There's no rhyme or reason to why we land on something, and sometimes it's just a miss, and I see that happening for you for Witcher. I can't... I'm so surprised that Witcher is the one that you were like, okay, let's say I have 3 free hours a week. I'm going to watch The Witcher.
It makes no sense for me. To the point where my wife came in the other day and she's like, what are you watching? And I was like embarrassed to describe it. I was like, it's not up your alley. It's not really my alley. I don't know why I'm watching it. It's deeply fantasy. There are elves and dwarves, but we haven't seen any of the dwarves yet. Oh, and lots of monsters. And this guy's just kind of like a nerd's idea of a cool guy walking around killing monsters.
Yes. I think there was one scene in the first season that made its way around the internet as an isolated scene, which is just a him doing like a very well choreographed fight through a whole bunch of people. And I was like, This is a cool show. I'm the audience for this show, and just the timing of it. I didn't start watching it until my first night in Thailand when I was vacationing in Thailand, and I put it on, and I was like, "What the fuck am I doing watching anything right now?" And then I never came back to it because I'm just sitting there and like they're telling me all the names and all the rules of their town, and I'm like, "This is not a good use of a fucking 14-hour flight."
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to know that in the second season, they really doubled down on all of that information that you have to collect and collate in your brain. There's a lot of like places and people that you're supposed to have remembered or just know, I guess, generally from the books or the games or whatever came first. And I've got none of it. So I'm like, exposition, please, please, please. I will accept that all we're going to do in this episode is fight a bat thing. So can we just get onto that?
Please, the Netflix thumbnail. It had him with two swords. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's also like this subplot that has to go through. I assume the entire series where it's an escort mission. He's basically taking around this young girl who's a princess and maybe powerful, but not yet. And it's really just such a slog. Like, you can't let this cool guy do all his cool stuff because he's got to also protect this girl the whole time. And it's just like, no, it's like in the second season of Friday Night Lights where Landry can't be funny. Yeah. You're like, no, like, fucking take off his leash. Let him do what he's good at. But I have some news from my trip to Tucson, Arizona over break. Yeah, I drove my electric vehicle to Tucson. And charged along the way to see if I could do that.
The last time, this is a huge jump because the last time we talked about this car, you didn't know how to drive it.
Right. I didn't know how to get out of my driveway.
Yes.
It has a backup camera, but the backup camera is equipped with a emergency stop if it senses something is behind you, presumably to save small children, things, dogs, things like that. But because my driveway pitches down and then there's the road behind it is crowned, it recognizes the road as an immovable object and immediately stops, and I can't get out of the driveway. I figured out how to turn that off.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so then I was free and drove an electric vehicle. Now, with an electric vehicle, when you drive it across the country, I will say that not across the country. I drove it across two states.
Yeah.
And these states were pretty well equipped to handle what I was doing. They were at pretty much all the stops they had some sort of charging station, and charging generally took like half an hour, 40 minutes. And so you have to kind of plan your trip around these specific charging stations and then also what you're going to be doing for that time with children.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I had to know, like, okay, well, we'll hit this spot at lunch. Oh, and then this one has a park nearby that we can walk to while the car is charging. Like, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That part was complicated and difficult just in like the the pre-planning, but actually hitting the stations, there was, I wasn't like waiting for chargers or anything like that. That was all easy. And then I found it was very charming, and this wasn't a thing I thought I would initially like. You get out and you start charging and you're just standing there and you'll strike up a conversation with somebody else who's charging. And generally just talking to strangers is a general fear of mine because I'm worried they're going to be weirdos. But everybody who you're talking to, you immediately have something to talk about because you're all like, you're giving each other tips and tricks about like, oh no, don't go to ChargePoint. Those suck. Go to Electrify America. Those are way better. Or like, how many kilowatts is yours pulling? And like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You immediately got something in common. Also, your general outlooks generally align if you're both driving electric vehicles. You've chosen to make this choice. And so conversation comes very easy. And I genuinely enjoy just like talking to these people in a way that made me feel like this is what smokers must have felt like forever. Like where they were just like going outside and smoking and you immediately see somebody else who's smoking and boom, you can talk to that person because you have something in common immediately. I don't have to do my rigmarole where I'm like, okay, what's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? Oh, okay. Omaha, Nebraska. Yes. I know a tour thing or two about it.
Yeah.
And so it's, and you can do like, where are you coming from? Are you headed that way, that way? Oh, what'd you think about the quartzite station? Like that kind of stuff. And then other things like people have, well, or have had a car like yours and they'll be like, oh, you've got the automatic driving system on there. I'm like, yes, I do. It's been very fun. And like, you know that if you take a can of Coke and you just put it on the wheel while you're doing that, you don't actually have to keep your hands on the wheel because the weight of the Coke makes it think that your hands are on the wheel and then you don't have to drive at all.
What? I was like,
okay. So my car has a self-driving feature, but it's called driver assist because they can't call it self-driver because people will start killing themselves if they actually treated it that way.
Sure.
But you have to keep your hands on the wheel, but you turn it on, you can set your speed and then the car will more or less try and keep that speed, but also will keep the distance of the car in front of it. So it's not going to be passing cars, but it will keep the lane. It'll keep you in your lane no matter how many sharp turns or anything are in the road. It will keep a certain distance from the car in front of it. And if it gets out, that car in front of it fucks off for whatever reason, then it will go the speed that you want to be going. And it was awesome. I loved using it almost the entire trip. Okay. And you do start to catch yourself, though, where you're like, I was turning it on and off throughout the trip. And sometimes I would like be driving and I would be like, it has a huge skylight, this car. I believe they call it a sunroof in a car. and so it was raining at one point and I was just sort of like, oh, that looks really nice. Like to see the rain kind of hitting the roof of it and drizzling backwards. And I'm kind of watching it for a little while. And I was like, well, I should go back to the road. And I look back at the road and I realize that I don't have the driver assist on while I'm this. And I was like, okay, yeah, I got to have a real check-in with myself about this. I've been treating this very cavalierly and I don't think I'm allowed to do that. I think that if I have this on, I need to know when it's on and I need to be paying attention.
Yeah. I think, well, I'm glad nothing bad happened from that. And you got a little beautiful moment with the rain.
I did.
But I think maybe it's because I'm so not used to it because I drive a 2007. But I never, the notion of driver assist doesn't appeal to me because I think I always want to be passing. Yeah. I'm surprised you, I thought that was in your nature too.
Well, so this car, it doesn't preclude you from doing that. So as soon as you start rolling up on somebody, you can still just duck around them and the car won't stop you from doing it. If you're in total control, but as soon as you kind of like let up, the car will continue to drive underneath you. Like it'll brake, it'll put the gas down, it'll steer the wheel, but you never turn off cruise control. It can stay on the entire time.
Yeah.
So yes,
I never have turned on. I never use cruise control.
I want to be passing at all times. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was really fun was that on the way back we hit wind. You know where the wind turbines are out in the desert, out in like almost Coachella Valley.
No, you hit but I know what wind turbines look like.
There's tons of them, and it's because like this particular area, all the whatever's coming from the west all gets funneled into this one area, and it's very, very windy. And I didn't realize that would have an effect on my battery as I'm coming back, like hitting this headwind. It drained my battery a lot faster than I thought it would, to the point where I was getting into a dangerous territory where I was gonna, like, I could see what my battery life would be when I got to my next destination. And for a while, it was like hovering around 5%, which is way, way too low. Very dangerous territory. That's like 15 miles left at the most. And I had a lot of fun with that because I liked trying to figure out how to gain more battery life on the way and like how to use the car in such a way that I was going to make it was very, very fun for me.
Right. Just powering down shields and putting them towards thrusters is what I imagine you're doing.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Seeing what makes a difference was really
great. Did you make
it? Oh yeah, we made it. Good. We got back, actually, we got home with 7% battery, which is crazy low, but I was so proud of that because it was like, I used it all up. I did it.
Yeah. There's someone on my street, and I'm in one of my very small, tight-knit, culty beach towns, and I just saw today someone was running a cable from their house to their car. Is that allowed?
Inside their house?
Yeah.
I mean, you could, I guess. They're using a 110, probably. Or it's like, if they have a dryer that's right there, they could run a 220 there. But basically, what you usually do is you just have an exterior socket on the outside of your house, and it could be a 110, and that's like what you'd ordinarily plug a lamp into or whatever. You can use that to plug your car into.
Huh.
It just takes forever to charge.
Okay. Well, I mean, That makes sense. No one here ever, like, goes anywhere. I'd never seen a cable going straight from a house to a car.
Okay. Yeah, like, no, we installed just an outlet, a regular old outlet on the outside of our house, and I just had the Volt, and I would charge it overnight, and it would charge right up.
Yeah.
Get an electric, Dan. They're great.
I
learn to drive first, get your license,
I want
do
to.
All
gonna,
those things.
I think I'm gonna drive my current car into the ground because I have no reason not to. And we did an episode of the show last season that was, like, certainly more people should get electric cars. Hurrah, hurrah, for sure, for sure. But the episode was very focused on our current power grid, which is not, if we did what a lot of hybrid and electric car advocates are clamoring for, and everyone switched to electric cars in the next 5 years, our grid could not handle it.
No, that's true. But it would be good. It would have to start accounting for that. Like, the right now, there's so many industries and places around the country that are like, well, why would we put in electric? Like, why would we do any of this? Well, we can't. This infrastructure is not necessary yet. But if it became necessary and they'd had to do it, we'd figure out a way, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hopefully, it's a project on the same scale as, like, do you think we could build interstate national highway system? Again,
right? No,
I know we don't need to take a lot of time on this because we don't really get political on this show or talk about anything important. But just digging into this topic for the show, as soon as I am seeing like the very helpful animated charts that experts put together, where it's like if we're gonna have any hope of fixing our grid, we need to put a bunch of large garish wind turbines and a whole bunch of these massive transformers that are going to send power. We need to build all of this ugly stuff right here in the center of the country so we can transfer that power, and then we see a bunch of arrows going from the center of the country to the coasts where we're using so much electricity, and I'm like, oh well, we're fucking boned.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? What else? What else? What else? What else?
Well, that's, I mean, that could be the end of our show right there.
Us saying we're boned? I don't know about that. What, how was Christmas?
Christmas was good. There's a thing that happens. I don't know how much I want to get into this. There's a thing that happens at my in-law's house.
Oh, yeah. Did you take any big shits lately? We can cut that.
So I go to there, and for some reason, something goes wrong with the bathroom every time we're there, the guest bathroom. Here's what I think it is. Let me just speculate. They don't have a lot of guests. They have guests that come to their house, but they aren't staying the night, especially for multiple nights. This area of the house is not getting used a lot. So, like, they're... they aren't necessarily aware of what's happening with that guest bathroom. Anyway, the last time I was, let me give you some context. The first time they moved in, we went into that bathroom. I was taking a shower. I tried to turn the shower off and the nozzle just kept screwing on the cold tap. And finally, it just shot off and a jet of water came shooting out with it, fired it into me like a bullet, and then continued to like fire into the back of the tub, like all the way lengthwise across the tub. And it would have kept going, you know, through the tile had it not been there. And well, I'm like, shut off the water, naked, shut off the water, shut off the water. And so they had to find it, figure out, it's new house, so they got to figure, new to them, where the how to shut off the water for the entire house. And then they have to have a plumber come out. So that goes wrong. The next time they had a problem where sewage started backing up through the shower. And I know why that happens, because generally with the sewer lines, there's like something caught in there. And in this case, it was these vines from an oleander plant. They start getting in there, they get through the joints, and then it's the sewer line itself starts to back up, and then it backs up to the lowest point, which happened to be this tub. Then this time, something fucking weird was happening where the shower wasn't draining, and then all of a sudden it all drained at once, and all the toilets all drained at once, and so there was like no water in anything. And then all of a sudden it all backed up 2 days later, to the point where like you couldn't get rid of anything. I was like, well, here we go again. And then, so like, as her dad's sitting there, he and I are in the bathroom and we're looking at this tub that's not draining. And he goes, you know, this is you, right? And I was like, what? And he's like, it's you. I mean, what? There's no other commonality among all of these things. And I was like, are you suggesting that it's like witchcraft for me? He's like, well, no. And I was like, and then I started to put it together. I was like, oh, you think I'm pooping so big that I'm blocking your sewer every time? He's like, well, and he did like this like gesture, like if the shoe fits kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. What? First of all, this is the first time this particular problem has happened. Do you think that I shit so big last time that I made the shower explode? That I made like the nozzles pop off? And he kind of took it good naturedly, but like the rest of the night, I was so steamed. I was so like mad that I was accused of this. And
you're coming in here with your electric car and your fancy West Coast giant shits full of avocado toast or whatever.
And also because, look, I've seen unflushed toilets before. I've seen my own shit. I'm doing fine. Like, all right. And I was so like bewildered and also just like, how dare you? How dare you accuse your guest of shitting so big that they broke your house? And I was so mad for a little while. And then like this guy came out and he looked at it and he's like, well, we don't really know what it was. He did like some cleaning out of it and he found something that was, they call it soft blockage, but he thought it might be some material, like maybe a tampon or something or a pad or something along those lines. And, I still felt like the blame was on my shoulders.
Yeah.
He wasn't letting up. And he's like talking about how much it cost and stuff. And I was like, I went to my wife and I was like, I'm just going to leave that amount here. And she's like, please don't do that. I was like, no, he thinks it's me. I'm going to leave the amount here. And she's like, I'm begging you not to do that. And so finally, like I relented and I very much cooled off and realized I was being silly and that even getting offended by that was very silly. But in the moment, I was so mad. But the rest of Christmas was good. Very fun. It's so much fun with children. It's like, I can't even stress how great it is to have children who believe in Santa Claus. At least one. The other one doesn't get it yet. But just like getting him ready, getting him primed for the holiday is so much fun.
Yeah. I think I've never had bad Christmases, but I think the gap between all of the children and nephews and nieces and cousins being like old but young, but the gap between that and there being a bunch of like this next generation, like all of my nephews and nieces running around, that gap is kind of a slow gap. It's you introduce family drinking into Christmas. So you got a couple of years where it's like, oh, this is kind of new. I'm not a kid anymore, and the cousins aren't kids anymore, and we're all drinking together. And isn't that neat? But otherwise, it's a very different party from when you were a children, and now this brand new exciting thing where there are other children around. That is like, oh yeah, this is a more familiar Christmas to me, because we have just a shitload of nephews and nieces in the family now, and it's so fun to gather around and watch little kids opening presents.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best watching them, like giving them that indulgence.
Yeah.
Where they're just allowed to do it and they know how to do it. Because ordinarily we kind of like, it makes me realize what a tight leash we keep my son on, unfortunately, where I'm like, ordinarily we would, even at his birthday, we let him open the presents, but then we're like trying to instill in him, like, you've got to be thankful for this.
Yeah.
The people who gave you these gifts, now you got to write these thank you cards. I'll help you write them, but like, you've got to do it. And trying to just curb behavior that you're not even seeing yet, but you're afraid might come at some point, of like the spoiled kid who opens a present and thinks it sucks. And so like, on Christmas, we don't give a shit because it's all family. So yeah. Even if they open a present, if they didn't like it, or they want to express some sort of emotion other than pure joy, they're allowed to do that. And I'm like, I should probably be allowing this more often.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's one of the things that makes Christmas fun. Decided this year, a thing that I'm going to do going forward is everyone gets like a present and also a book. That's something that my grandma used to do for all of her grandkids. And so I like a personalized book going to each kid as a thing that will be weird Uncle Daniel's thing. And I can, every kid in my family is very polite and well-behaved, but I can see them opening a book and be like, oh, thank you, I'm excited to read this. I'm like, hey man, I know there's a remote-controlled dump truck behind you. Just go for it. It looks awesome. It's okay. It's Christmas.
Yeah. But that's like, you want your kid to be that. You want them to have that sweet, oh, this is really great. We had some people over for New Year's, and afterwards somebody left a jacket. Another little child left a jean jacket that was very acid washed and then had kind of like pink fur around the collar and around the cuffs. And Ronan was like, what is that? And I was like, we got you one more thing. Do you want to try it on? And he was like, it's for me. And I was like, yeah, I think you'll really like it. And this is not up his alley at all. Like, this is not his thing. And I was like, will you try it on? Just fucking with him. And he was like, yeah, okay. And like, put it on. And I'm like, do you like it? He's like, yeah, it's really nice. And I was like, oh, buddy, you don't have to do that. It's okay. It's okay. I'm
you're
just
very well trained.
I really appreciate this. Was a test.
Yeah.
you don't have to do that. That's very, very sweet of you. You're a good kid. This is not for you.
Yeah.
You know, like the relief on his face is palpable.
Thanks. I'm so glad it's not for me. Only a fucking loser would wear this. Well, no. Let's.
Well, hang on.
We gotta keep that inside.
All right. Well, that feels like a show.
Yeah.
I think maybe I will do our little bumpers here at the end and talk about how everyone can find us.
Oh,
is that
great.
All right with you?
Yeah.
Well, you can find Daniel at DOB_Inc. on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Soren_LTD. You can follow Bacon, our CFO, who we had a delicious dinner with, at Make Me Bacon Please. That's spelled PLS at the end. And you can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan, or you can email us at QQ@SorenandDaniel@gmail.com. Also, you can just find us on Patreon. If you want to, you got into a large sum of money in the holidays and you're like, what am I going to do with all this? You know, throw it our way. Let us wet our beak on that sweet, sweet cash. All right, Patreon/Quick Question. Oh, you can also find and follow and hire our sound engineer and producer and editor if you can find him somewhere. His name is Gabe Harder, GabeHarder.com. As far as I know, it does not belong to him anymore, so you won't be there. But just snatch that name out of the ether. See if you can get any leads.
Bye.